No spot is so new to my childhood as the little brown church in the hills.
Please remain standing and join me in our opening prayer. It's a prayer of unison. God, today we are thankful most of all for you. Without you, we cannot even breathe. You provide rhythm to our hearts and lives. You are our protector, our guide, our strength, our creator, and our redeemer. We are thankful for your very presence here. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. Amen. One more song before you're seated, unless you need to be seated. Number 509, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. You're here today. I really appreciate you making the trip to Reeds Mill Church. You were probably expecting to see somebody else standing here. Russell Carbonin was supposed to do our service today, but about 2 weeks ago he was just a little concerned about his vehicle, and he has to go to Liberty, and that's a little bit of a ways from here. So here I am. And our organist that was supposed to be here, Robert Ludwig, he also needed to cancel, so thankfully Paula has stepped in. We very much appreciate that, Paula, that you're...
And I very much appreciate you bearing with the miscues.
We'll just sing right through them. Is that okay?
That. Sing loudly, please.
Right. So, So, we would go to a hymn sing now. If there's any song in particular that you would like to sing, just raise your hand. I'll call on you and give us the name of it and the number, and we'll sing a verse or two of it. Miss Pam, you've got your hand up. 289. For those of you who are not familiar with this church, this is something we do just about at every service. We have a little hymn sing in the middle of it. So Blessed Assurance, first and last. Yep, got to get the air in there.
Still on the road, says
Thank you, Paula. We come to a time of prayer when, if you have a prayer of praise or a prayer of concern, a prayer of petition on someone else's behalf, now would be a time to share it. If you want to, no have to's, you'd raise your hand, and eventually we will get to a time we can all pray about those things. So does anybody have a prayer of praise or petition? I praise God that my three children are here today. They're all here staying with me. It makes me very happy. So that's a good praise for me. Yes, yeah, Shirley.
I have a prayer of petition for a young man connected to our family who is going through very difficult times right now.
Thank you. Yes, Pam.
I would like to ask for prayers for the family of Brian Carroll. He was a 15-year-old, wonderful young man that was tragically lost in an accident a week and a half ago. I ask for prayers for his family, and I really ask for prayers for his brother, Darren, who was driving the car.
Oh. And what was Brian's last name? I know the masks make it hard. All right. Anybody else? All right, well then let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you know what's on our hearts. Even though we may not have voiced concerns or praises, you know what's inside of us. Today in particular, there is a sense of thankfulness, even just for this gathering of people. I praise you, Lord, for family that have traveled safely, particularly in my own heart, for my children being able to be with me for this holiday. We pray for a young man who is going through a difficult time. So many people are going through difficult times, but we are specifically holding up this young man right now. We also pray for the family of Brian Carroll, who, as you know, was received by you in about a week and a half ago. We pray for his family and his brother, Jim, who I'm sure is just feeling a lot of heaviness on his heart at this time. I'm going to just pause for a moment, and if you have any prayers that you would like to just silently offer at this time, I'd ask you to do that now. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for food and remember the hungry. We thank thee for health and remember the sick. We thank thee for friends and remember the friendless. We thank thee for freedom and remember the enslaved. May these remembrances stir us to service, that your gifts to us may be used for others. Amen. Please join me in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We now sing a song. The words to the song are in the bulletin. Thank you. brush of angels' wings, I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. We will not be passing out the baskets for an offering today, but would invite you, if you have a donation you'd like to make to the church, to put it in the baskets that are in the back of the room as you exit the building. And we will now have an offering hymn, number 382, We Gather Together. I ask you to stand for that if you are able. Doxology, which is on the inside cover of your hymnal, if you'd like to follow along.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And it's a beautiful one out there.
Indeed.
Thank you, Ginny, for letting me read these scriptures. It's a blessing to me to go through them night after night. And they're from, the first one's from Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a rapt and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, we read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we read, "Rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus."
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Gratitude and thanksgiving are not always easy. Giving thanks in all circumstances and no grumbling? Well, that's essentially out of the question sometimes. Let's be honest. None of us are as thankful as we should be. Maybe I should have a raise of hands. Are we all as thankful as we should be? It seems complaining is just so much easier. We love to complain as our attention seems so often to be on the negative. Although the Bible tells us to do everything without complaining, maybe we just haven't perfected that yet. Surely if Paul knew what good complainers we would be, his admonishment about not grumbling or complaining might have been a bit more negative. It almost seems it is our nature to practice becoming efficient complainers. So suppose we want to become really good at complaining, be better than everyone else at it. Here are a couple of tips to reinforce what seems to make us happy. Keep a journal. No matter how minute, keep track of everything that bugs you. We all have pet peeves, so set aside time daily to ponder what other people do to bug you. Be sure to keep track. If you write these annoyances down, you'll keep track of them better. Try to write down at least 3 or 4 every day that irritate you, unless you find that annoying. And then regardless of how significant they are, just keep adding to the book. Your list may include the weather, slow, free Wi-Fi, waiting at the doctor's office or in line in the store. Oh, I know, your in-laws, your children, your parents, your neighbors, taxes, politicians, masks. How about the cost of anything, everything? Whenever you find yourself accidentally happy, take your journal out and review all of your frustrations. Maybe even write those frustrations on note cards and post them around your house. Point things out to people that you don't like or approve of. When you visit someone, be sure to point out the dirty window, or the wrong soap you're using, or the speck of food on the silverware that the dishwasher didn't remove. Nobody should get away with that. Well, except maybe you. From our complaining point of view, the lives of grateful people aren't that different from ours, but they're just not realists like us. They simply need to practice reciting their frustrations more. And language matters. So be mindful of the adjectives you use. The more strongly you label things, the better you're going to be able to cultivate that grumbling spirit. Use adjectives like horrible, bad, atrocious, irritating, terrible, stupid, awful. Use negative words whenever you can. Thankful people usually can't or refuse to remember the bad stuff that's happened in the past. And they don't worry enough about all the horrible, bad, atrocious, irritating, terrible, stupid, awful things that could happen in the future. Be constantly distracted. If you want to be an A-plus complainer, always, always, always multitask. Don't waste your time by simply enjoying, say, the aromas, the appearance, the texture of this beautiful meal that's in front of you. Entertain yourself with whatever handheld device you have at that moment, or watching TV while you eat. Do things in conjunction with as many other things as possible. If you give yourself too much time to focus on the good stuff happening around you all the time, You'll miss out on the potential threats on the horizon, or to belabor the bad stuff you've already experienced. Focus on yourself when you pray. Use your prayer time to get what you want. Praising God for who he is will just waste your time. He already knows how great he is. He doesn't need you blabbering on about it. Instead, remind him of everything you want that you don't have. Thanksgiving and physical health tend to work together. Healthy people are usually grateful and positive. Then the positivity tends to just lead to healthy decisions. It's a vicious time-wasting circle. And exercise? Poison. You get endorphins when you exercise. Those positive chemicals in your body prevent you from recognizing the awful realities of the world. You can't afford to let anything stand in the way of that. And you don't want to waste your energy on endorphins when you can save it for complaining. Sometimes it doesn't seem quite like complaining if you're simply sharing the facts. So to be sure to be sarcastic and sound harsh in your description. Look annoyed. You don't want there to be any confusion as to whether or not you're complaining. And make sure you're never getting all the sleep you need. When you're tired, you get anxious. Lack of sleep and anxiety are like steroids for complainers. Well, by now, I hope you realize that I'm being just a bit facetious. And let me be the first to say, I know I complain about things. And every time I'm reminded of Paul saying in Romans, what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do, I cringe as I hear myself complaining, and I just, something I need to work on. I don't think we need guidelines to become serious complainers. God gave us the ability to be both pessimistic and optimistic. Which do you think is better for your overall well-being? Which do you think makes God happy? Which do you think he prefers, a negative Nelly or a positive Polly? Just seems so easy to see the negative rather than the positive, to forget to be thankful for what we have and complain about what we don't. To grumble about this or that person rather than to love your neighbor as yourself. It might take a little effort to stop complaining. Well, it might take a lot of effort. As Steve read, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Give thanks in all circumstances. A thankful attitude opens windows of heaven. Spiritual blessings fall freely onto you through those openings. And moreover, as you look up with a grateful heart, you get glimpses of glory through those windows. A thankful mindset does not entail a denial of reality with its plethora of problems. Instead, if you let it, that thankful mindset rejoices in God, our Savior, in the midst of trials and tribulations. He is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help. So little Jimmy was playing outside, and after a while he came in because he needed to go to the bathroom. And instead of just going to the bathroom to take care of business, he went to his mother very upset and said, "Why do I always have to go to the bathroom?" He yelled it at her. And I can kind of relate because I always have to go. So Mom tried to explain that this is a natural thing, that everyone needs to go to the bathroom multiple times each day, and that if he could go right back to playing as soon as he was finished. But she also warned him that if he didn't go soon, he'd have an accident in his pants. But he continued to yell, "It's not fair, I never get to play, and why are you being so mean to me?" Can you picture this? I mean, I can picture this. Well, Mom tried to explain that he was complaining about something that cannot be fixed. And she also wanted to make sure that he realized that she was not trying to be mean. She really was just pointing out the consequences of his choices. Jimmy continued to throw his temper tantrum. It seemed like such a small thing to Mom, but obviously it was a big thing to him. She sat down and decided to pray about this situation. Jimmy wanted nothing to do with praying. He fought against her, trying to drown out her words. La, 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 la. She told him he didn't have to pray, but that she was going to because she didn't know how else to help him. He started making ugly faces and grunting. But she kept at it, thanking God for her family and friends and for the good things he gives us. Eventually, Jimmy started to quiet down and listened to her pray. She prayed for God to help her son and for him to be thankful and not complain. And then she left him and went to the bathroom. Well, I expect Jimmy finally went to the bathroom, but at 4 years old, he may not have caught on to what his mother did right away. I have a feeling, though, his mother remembered and learned a lesson we could all benefit from. I have a daily devotional. It's called Jesus Calling. I'm in my fourth year of going through this book every day. But the first year, the very first page I dog-eared, and I've dog-eared a lot of them, says this. This is the day that I have made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Begin the day with open hands of faith, ready to receive all I am pouring into this brief portion of your life. Be careful not to complain about anything, even the weather, since I am the author of your circumstances. The best way to handle unwanted situations is to thank me for them. This act of faith frees you from resentment and frees me to work my ways into that situation so that good emerges from it. To find joy in this day, you must live within its boundaries. I knew what I was doing when I divided time into 24-hour segments. I understand human frailty, and I know that you can bear the weight of only one day at a time. Do not worry about tomorrow or get stuck in the past. There is abundant life in my presence today. So instead of complaining, pray a prayer of thanks. Try it. Learning to cultivate a life of thanksgiving and acceptance rather than complaining can, with some effort, be done by consciously kicking complaining out the door. And that's a note card you might really want to post in your home. Amen. So here we are at our final hymn. These hymns that we're singing today, these are all the hymns that I learned in grammar school. I didn't learn them in my church. I learned them in my grammar school growing up. And they're just Thanksgiving hymns to me. They just sound like Thanksgiving. So number 508, Now Thank Thee All Our God. Please stand if you're able. With us, and go in peace. Amen. And happy Thanksgiving. And come back on December 19th for our candlelight service, 3 o'clock.
Thank you.